This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The pause continues. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Thursday, April 15. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
A CDC advisory committee says it needs more time to determine the path forward for the COVID vaccine from J&J after several women suffered blood clots.
Congressional Democrats today are expected to introduce legislation that would expand the Supreme Court from 9 to 13 justices.
The former Minnesota police officer who fatally shot Dante Wright during a traffic stop Sunday has been charged with second-degree manslaughter.
And fake COVID certificates being presented by airline passengers.
There are kind of a plethora of different, you know, falsified PCR tests, for example, that have been made available to people, you know, online and kind of on the black market, I suppose. And the problem here is that airlines say that they aren't really equipped to check the authenticity of a document.
Ben Katz at the Wall Street Journal on delays for international travelers as airlines try to determine legit COVID certificates from the fakes. The former police officer who fatally shot 20-year-old Dante Wright in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, is being charged with second-degree manslaughter. Charges were announced yesterday against 48-year-old Kim Potter, who resigned from her position on Tuesday. She was taken into custody yesterday, posted bond, and was released last evening. Her first court appearance is scheduled for later today. The charge carries a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison. Police have described the shooting of Mr. Wright as accidental, with Ms. Potter mistaking her gun for a taser. Body camera footage showed Ms. Potter, a 26-year veteran of the force, shouting the word taser several times before firing her gun. The mayor of Brooklyn Center is Mike Elliott.
Now the eyes of the world are watching Brooklyn Center. And I urge you to protest peacefully and without violence.
Meanwhile, a crowd of several hundred people gathered for a fourth night outside police headquarters last night. Some set off fireworks and threw water bottles at police. A curfew begins at 10 p.m. Jurors in the murder trial of former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin now have a significant amount of conflicting expert testimony. Yesterday, a forensic pathologist testifying for the defense said that George Floyd died of a cardiac arrest because of heart disease and that the death could not be ruled a homicide. The county medical examiner, you'll recall, ruled it a homicide after Mr. Chauvin was seen with his knee on Mr. Floyd's neck while face down for more than 9 minutes. The testimony from David Fowler, former medical examiner for the state of Maryland, supported the defense that drugs and health problems were the issue for Mr. Floyd.
So there's a potential of the adrenaline and the methamphetamine further narrowing those arteries in the heart as well as arteries elsewhere in the body, restricting blood flow.
One expert for the prosecution said the restraint led to a failure of Mr. Floyd's heart, and others said the restraint led to a lack of oxygen. The killing of Dante Wright by a police officer in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota, has thrust Mayor Mike Elliott into the national spotlight. Mr. Elliott, with the backing of the city council, quickly fired longtime city manager Kurt Boghaney, took control of the police department, and called for the firing of Officer Kim Potter, who resigned on Tuesday. More on Mayor Elliott from Nick Halter, reporter at Axios Twin Cities. Nick, tell us about him.
He's a very young mayor. He's only 37 years old. He's only been leading the city for 2 years now, and he hadn't been on the city council prior to that. And he sort of finds himself thrust into this role of being sort of in the middle of the spotlight. The whole country's kind of watching, and he's acted pretty swiftly and pretty boldly on some of these things that activists were demanding. He fired the city manager. The city manager, didn't want to immediately fire the police officer. But he also took control of the police department, And so he's just been acting very, very boldly and very quickly so far.
All right. So when he takes control of the police department, like what does that exactly mean? He's sort of like an acting chief, or like what does he do?
Yeah. So the police chief had previously responded to the city manager, but after he fired the city manager, the city council voted to give him control of the police chief. So he basically is you know in charge of the police chief now directly.
Wow.
But you know the struggle is, and this is what we found out last night, is that he doesn't. The Brooklyn Center Police Department doesn't have a ton of control of what's happening up there right now. This special force of state and regional and National Guard troops are sort of all handling, you know, the protests, and they, you know, did use tear gas and flashbang grenade, despite the fact that the mayor does not want that to be used up there. He doesn't have a lot of control over it, what they do.
Well, just from an outsider's perspective here, it does not seem like he's shying away from what's going on.
No, not at all. He is sort of stepping into the moment to some extent, but I mean, some people here are a little bit concerned about that. I did talk to the state senator from Brooklyn Center, you know, and she's been representing that area for 10 years, and she's kind of been very concerned. I mean, the city manager was black and was respected, according to her, and a good city manager, and so getting rid of him was, in her estimation, sort of a, you know, not a great move to make at this moment when sort of, you know, you need the best people on hand at the moment. So he also, you know, I should note one other thing. He called on the governor to have the attorney general's office take up the prosecution of the police officer, but you know, the attorney general's office and the governor declined to do that after he asked for it.
So. Wow. All right. So Mayor Elliott is black as well, correct?
He is black, and he is a Liberian immigrant. We have the largest Liberian immigrant population in the country here in the Twin Cities, and Brooklyn Center itself is a very diverse, you know, suburb just across the border from Minneapolis. He very much represents this community in terms of it's young, it's diverse. So he came here at age 11 as a refugee, and you know, went to college or went to high school in Brooklyn Center, and went to college here at a local university. So he's very much a part of the community. You know, I mean, he represents kind of the people of Brooklyn Center for sure.
Yeah. We're speaking with Nick Halter, reporter at Axios Twin Cities, and he's written a piece entitled "Brooklyn Center Mayor in the Spotlight After Dante Wright Shooting." And he's focusing on Mayor Mike Elliott. You said too, Monday night he put on a helmet and went out in the streets, talked to protesters.
He did. He went out and he talked to protesters, and he tried to calm them. He tried to assure them that, you know, that they were gonna, that this was gonna be handled, but, you know, that justice was gonna be served. You know, even the state senator I talked to, his name was Chris Eaton, who was, you know, critical of him, did think that was, you know, well done. And I think, you know, him speaking to them is important. I mean, I think, you know, that he's a good person to have on the street, you know, talking to protesters and telling them what's going on.
Thanks, Nick. Nick Halter, reporter at Axios Twin Cities. Coming up next, the pause of the J&J COVID vaccine. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday. The pause on the use of Johnson & Johnson's COVID vaccine will remain in place for now after an advisory panel delayed a vote on how to proceed after a handful of cases of life-threatening blood clots. The committee said yesterday it doesn't have enough information yet about the risk of these unusual side effects to determine whether the vaccine should be continued, discontinued, or recommended only for certain groups of the population. The group expects to meet again in another week or two to revisit the issue. Dr. Jason Goldman is a fellow at the American College of Physicians.
I would also suggest we consider the risk versus benefit of the vaccine compared to the risk of getting COVID itself and the potential of death from the disease.
Six women between the ages of 18 and 48 developed clots in vessels draining blood from their brains after receiving J&J's vaccine. One of them died. More than 7.2 million doses of the J&J vaccine have been administered in the U.S. About 1.5 million of them went to women between the ages of 18 and 50. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A former police officer will face her first court appearance today in the traffic stop shooting of a black motorist that has engulfed a Minneapolis suburb with four straight days of bitter conflict between protesters and police. Kim Potter, who quit her job on the Brooklyn Center Force 2 days after Dante Wright's death, has been charged with second-degree manslaughter. Unrest in Brooklyn Center continued last night. Matt Langer of the Minnesota State Patrol.
The group largely scattered. It was almost uneventful, and we ended up with about 24 arrests.
Number two.
The Biden administration is preparing to announce sanctions in response to a massive Russian hacking campaign that breached vital federal agencies, as well as for election interference. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
There will be consequences to the actions that were taken. I expect you will know more about that soon.
The sanctions would represent the first retaliatory action announced against the Kremlin for last year's hack known as the SolarWinds breach.
Number three.
President Biden says he will withdraw remaining U.S. troops from Afghanistan, declaring that the September 11th terror attacks of 20 years ago cannot justify U.S. forces still dying in the nation's longest war.
We went to Afghanistan because of a horrific attack that happened 20 years ago. That cannot explain why we should remain there in 2021.
Soon after Biden made his announcement, NATO's chief said the alliance had agreed to withdraw its 7,000 forces from Afghanistan. Bernie Madoff, the architect of the biggest investment fraud in U.S. history, has died at age 82. Madoff was serving a 150-year sentence for running a vast Ponzi scheme that swindled thousands out of their life savings. After a record-breaking 5.6 million homes sold in 2020, the highest rate in 14 years, the housing market is heating up even more. With both inventory and mortgage rates at low levels, reclaiming the top spot as the hottest market in the country is the Manchester-Nashua metro area in New Hampshire. Homes there in March sold in under 19 days last month, 35 days faster than is typical in the rest of the country. Other super hot markets are Concord, New Hampshire, Vallejo, Fairfield, California, Burlington, North Carolina, and Springfield, Ohio.
Man, if you are a seller right now.
Yes, seller's market.
Unless you have to buy somewhere else. Thanks, Jen.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Dr. Peter Marks, the director of the Center for Biologics Evaluation and Research at the FDA, said he hopes pausing the J&J COVID vaccine shots will call attention to vaccine-associated blood clots, helping alert patients and doctors to concerning symptoms and perhaps identifying more cases. More on what we should know about these clots from Karen Weintraub, healthcare reporter at USA Today. Karen, paint the broader picture first.
So it's six women ages 18 to 48, who had these very unusual blood clots, combination of blood clots and low platelet counts. So platelets are when you cut yourself and a wound forms, it's the platelets that do that. So it's a very unusual combination can be very serious. And so the FDA wanted to alert the public that this was happening. And also, it's possible that there are more cases of this. So they wanted to get the word out so that those people who might have had it but didn't alert federal officials will now hopefully do so. Unfortunately, it also makes people nervous.
All right, so you bring up a good point, and then it's worth asking, at what point do you breathe a sigh of relief? Is there a point where the medical professionals feel you're in the clear with the J&J vaccine and are beyond the risk of a clot?
Everyone they've seen has had these clots between 6 and 13 days after the vaccine. So if you develop a severe headache, and also I should be clear, these are not the side effects that you get right after the shot. If you spike a fever or have a headache a day or two after the shot, that's perfectly normal and totally unrelated to this. This is starts between 5 and 13 days after the shot from what they've seen. And it's a pretty severe headache. Somebody said if you bend over, it gets worse. And it doesn't come and go like my allergy sinus headache does.
Yeah.
And it can also, so it's signs of blood clots, like a headache, like leg pain, swelling in the leg, can be severe abdominal pain. And then this low platelet count disorder generally causes little spots, purplish, reddish spots on the skin.
All right, so you quoted a hematologist in the story, said this doesn't happen in healthy people out of the blue. Meaning what? They should be able to find something underlying with these women?
Meaning that it's very likely that the vaccine caused these cases, as opposed to it is possible, and I've had my inbox has been filled this morning with people saying, well, what about birth control pills? So young women are more likely to, or birth control pills can cause blood clots. But those are the common type of blood clot, not this type that's combined with low platelet counts. And also not all six of these people who suffered this condition were on birth control. So we don't think it's that. We don't think it's a pre-existing condition. This really did strike these women out of the blue. They weren't sick. They weren't likely candidates for blood clots.
Thanks, Karen. Karen Weintraub, healthcare reporter at USA Today. With Mother's Day coming up, I wanted to remind you about paintyourlife.com. If you're looking for a truly meaningful gift, they did one for me that my wife loves. A professional hand-painted portrait of our kids, one of our favorite photos, that Paint Your Life turned into a real work of art. I chose a world-class artist and worked with them to make sure everything was just right. It takes 5 minutes to order, and in about 3 weeks, you'll have a gift she'll cherish forever. I love their stuff. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money's fully refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited-time offer, get 20% off. That's right, 20% off your painting and free shipping. Just text the word DEAL to 64,000. That's D-E-A-L to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Text the word DEAL again to 64,000. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, text DEAL to 64,000. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Thursday, April 15. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Second-degree manslaughter charges for the Minnesota cop who killed Dante Wright. Biden administration set to announce sanctions today against Russia for a hacking campaign last year. The Democrats' majority in the House is even narrower after Republican Julia Letlow was sworn in yesterday after winning a special election in Louisiana. A new study on teenagers' sleep habits. We'll have that story in about 15 minutes. And short shorts trending for men. That story in about 20 minutes. It's time for a business update, and it's brought to you by Indeed. Life is a marathon, not a sprint, unless you're hiring. Fortunately, Indeed has great tools that help speed up the hiring process. Visit Indeed.com/credit. Airlines are battling a scourge of passengers traveling with falsified COVID-19 health certificates. The documents are often the COVID test results required by many countries on arrival. To be clear, it's hitting international flights more than domestic ones, which typically don't require certification at the moment. But Wall Street Journal reporter Ben Katz says the proliferation of fake health certificates is exposing a logistical blind spot. Ben, what are we seeing?
So what we're seeing at the moment is there are kind of a plethora of different, you know, falsified PCR tests, for example, that have been made available to people, you know, online and kind of on the black market, I suppose. And the issue, it's been quite widely reported, but it hasn't really been looked at in terms of what it means for airlines. And what we're seeing now is that airlines are being asked by most governments around the world when accepting international passengers or even passengers returning home, to check the veracity of the documents that they bring. And the problem here is that airlines say that they aren't really equipped to check the authenticity of a document. They can check some of the details, but when it comes to whether or not it's a forgery, it's something that their staff really aren't really equipped to handle. Yet it's still, in some jurisdictions, airlines are being fined in Germany, for example, up to $30,000 per passenger with a false certificate. So
you know, as we start moving towards, you know, the summer period where a lot of airlines are really hoping for some kind of recovery in air traffic, there's concerns that, you know, this issue of passengers arriving with fake documentation and fake health certificates is really going to only escalate.
Yeah. Are there lots of different types of documents that are legit out there? Is that what makes this so confusing or difficult?
Absolutely. If any of your listeners have been fortuitous enough to travel over the past year, you know, you'll know, or they'll know that each clinic, each, you know, health center that administers the test and sends the results has their own format. Many are in different languages. Many, you know, some are half page, some are a couple pages. So there isn't any kind of international standard, which makes it a lot harder too. You know, it's quite comparable to the visa system, where airlines also find if they bring somebody into a country that doesn't have the correct travel documentation. The difference here is that with passports, with visas, it's quite easy to recognize if it's a fraud or not. There's a consistency. There's, you know, a national standard, if not a global standard, for how it goes. But as we're still trying to figure out what travel means during a pandemic and even post-pandemic, airlines are really kind of throwing their hands up and asking, you know, how is this going to work?
Jeez. We're speaking with Ben Katz, aviation correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. He's got a story entitled Fake COVID-19 Certificates Hit Airlines, which now have to police them. I almost fell off my chair when I was reading the one part of your story where you talked about like some 6-hour lines at Heathrow, I guess, for employees backed up trying to check these documents. And here we are, what, 90% fewer people flying.
Exactly. And, you know, the CEO of Heathrow, you know, really made the point that, you know, for anybody arriving into a new country, that border control, that line, that's kind of the port of entry. That's the first face, you know, of, in this case, Britain. And for international travelers, it's quite an awful experience to have to sit, you know, or stand rather, in a line for, you know, 6 hours, even longer. And yes, as you say, you know, this is at a time when Heathrow is still only handling, you know, a few hundred thousand passengers as opposed to the few million that they typically do in this data point is from March. And they're just really concerned that as we go into the summer and, you know, things really start picking up, international borders start opening up, that those lines, which are already untenable, will just become impossible to manage.
My goodness. Is there a solution being worked out, or is this just a real scramble right now?
At the moment, the airlines are all coming up with what they call, you know, digital health apps, you know, health credential systems that you can upload your certificates and your, you know, if it's a vaccine status that a country is looking for, that you can upload it during check-in. But the same issue still arises, which is, you know, if you're uploading your system, even if it's digital, you know, how do you know, how does the airline know that document hasn't been falsified? So there's definitely a system going ahead. We're still, you know, the industry, governments are working together to try to figure out how this idea of a health passport, you know, may work. But the thing that the airlines are really pushing for is just consistency. A uniform document, a uniform system that is recognizable kind of across the board.
Yeah.
And we'll see over the next few months how that plays out.
Thanks, Ben. Ben Katz, aviation correspondent for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, how far would you go to get a year's worth of free burgers? In the sport of business, we're all players. And with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Hey, glad you could be with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we rarely talk about police apprehensions in this segment, and when we do, it usually involves a human doing something really dumb before they get captured. Today, however, we need to give credit to the really smart animal who evaded capture by authorities for more than 8 months. You might remember back in August, we told you the story of Buddy the Beefalo, the 900-pound half-bison, half-cattle that escaped its handlers while being offloaded from a truck at a meat processing business in Plymouth, Connecticut. The AP says that Buddy's adventures, including several failed attempts by police to capture him, gained widespread attention and inspired the creation of several social media accounts in his name. All good things must come to an end, however, and Plymouth police announced his apprehension yesterday, posting the animal's picture on social media with the word "captured" stamped across it in red letters. Police say Buddy had wandered onto a farm in town and was hanging out with some cows when the farm owner snagged him and eventually got him into a trailer. Good news for Buddy, though, now that he's a celebrity, he won't be heading back to the meat processing plant. Instead, he'll be sent to an animal sanctuary in Gainesville, Florida.
Nice.
We've done a lot of these stories with animals that escape, and the best thing you can do as an animal is escape.
Sure.
You know, when you're on the way to be butchered,
yeah.
Because you usually don't get butchered.
Yep.
They'll send you to a farm after that because you become so popular.
I can understand how a 900-pound animal could escape its handlers.
Right.
Right. Some rope, a couple of guys maybe tried to guide it with a rope, you know. It's just not enough. But what I don't understand is how a 900-pound animal can wander free for 8 months and not be caught or seen.
I mean, we're talking Connecticut here, not exactly the wilderness.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you would think it would have been easier to spot. More people would have spotted him, and it would have been a bit easier to corral him.
And apparently he didn't go very far.
Right. He kind of hung out in town.
He was offloaded in Plymouth, Connecticut, and was found in Plymouth, Connecticut.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, 900 pounds, probably only so far you can travel without getting tired, right?
I guess.
So you find a food source, you're going to stick to it.
Well, good for Buddy.
Yes. And speaking of beef, how many free burgers would it take for you to get a restaurant's name tattooed on your body? One California-based chain is betting that a year's worth of burgers might do the trick. Farmer Boys announced that it has partnered with tattoo shops in West Hollywood, California and Las Vegas to offer three different 2-inch by 2-inch tattoo designs. Customers who receive the tattoos will receive free burgers for a year from Farmer Boys locations. Customers can sign up for tattoo appointments through the restaurant's website. Now, I don't know specifics here.
Yeah.
You know, again, well, 2-inch by 2-inch, that's not too big. That's number one,
right.
Because it depends on how big it is. And also, where does it have to be? I don't know if that's something in the fine print. It has to be visible. Can you put it, like, on the back of your leg or something where, it's, you know, most people aren't going to see it?
Right.
You know, how exactly does that work?
Right, that matters, because if it has to go on your forehead,
right,
versus your bicep,
right,
it's different.
You know, I think in my younger years, this is something I might have considered.
Yeah,
but at this point, probably not.
I don't know Farmer Boys, but is the burger $6, $7, $8?
Yeah.
You get one per year. You know, it's $150 worth of burgers.
I got you.
I don't know. What's tattoo cost? A couple hundred bucks.
I'm always doing the math. You are
got to calculate the ROI. 13 minutes in front of the hour. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. A new study finds changing middle and high school schedules can help teens get more sleep. Researchers surveyed 28,000 students in the Cherry Creek School District in Colorado over 2 years and found moving school start times later resulted in increased sleep times of around 45 minutes for students. The research is published in the journal Sleep. Elementary school students began an hour earlier over the course of the study, so older students could be picked up by buses later. The middle schools delayed their start times by up to 60 minutes. High schools delayed theirs by 70 to start no earlier than 8:30. Middle school students went to bed an average of 9 minutes later, but slept in an additional 37 minutes. High school kids went to bed an average 14 minutes later, but slept for an additional 60. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine will remain in limbo for a while longer after a government health advisor said they need more evidence to decide if a handful of unusual blood clots were linked to the shot. And if so, how big the risk really is, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
Right now, we believe these events to be extremely rare, but we are also not yet certain we have heard about all possible cases, as this syndrome may not be easily recognized as one associated with the vaccine.
There have been 6 cases of blood clots out of more than 7 million inoculations of the J&J vaccine.
Number 2.
Forensic pathologist David Fowler told a court in Minneapolis George Floyd's death should have been classified as undetermined. Fowler, who testified for the defense yesterday in the murder trial of former officer Derek Chauvin, says drug use, heart disease, and other factors contributed to Floyd's death.
In my opinion, Mr. Floyd had a sudden cardiac arrhythmia due to his atherosclerotic and hypertensive heart disease.
Chauvin's defense team is trying to contradict earlier expert testimony that Floyd died from a lack of oxygen.
Number 3.
The top watchdog for the U.S. Capitol Police will testify for the first time today about the department's broad failures before and during the January 6th insurrection, including missed intelligence predicting a war and weapons that were so old officers didn't feel comfortable using them. Capitol Police Inspector General Michael Bolton has investigated the force's missteps since the siege. In a report obtained by the Associated Press, he paints a dire picture of his agency's ability to respond to future threats and casts serious doubt on whether the force would be able to respond to another large-scale attack. Here's another reason to get back into regular exercise if you've put on the quarantine 15. A study of almost 50,000 adults found that those who met the recommended 150 minutes of moderate physical activity each week were less likely to be hospitalized or die due to COVID-19 compared to more sedentary people who almost never broke a sweat. The Kaiser Permanente study found that adults who were consistently inactive, exercising less than 10 minutes a week, had a greater risk of hospitalization, admission to the ICU, and death from COVID-19 than those who got the recommended amount.
Man, come on. Just move. Do something. Go for a walk. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Social media users have taken notice that hemlines on men's shorts are getting shorter. Many are supportive of this shifting trend. Fox News says big-name celebrities like Dwayne The Rock Johnson appear to be the catalyst after photos of them wearing the high-cut activewear circulated online. Men's Health magazine wrote an article that predicts short shorts for men will gain popularity this summer. Inseams of men's shorts have gone up and down throughout history. The grand majority of activewear retailers still carry a bulk of shorts with longer inseams, around 10 inches in length. Some of the shortest shorts that are being sold at Under Armour and Nike are between 2 and 7 inches, while Lululemon Athletica's shorts are between 4 and 5 inches, and the shortest shorts from Champion are between 5 and 7. One critic of short shorts says your thighs will look better if they've got a little more fabric to strain against. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.